Blast off.
Blog Talk Radio.
All right, there we go. Want to say welcome to Facebook Live. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And now we're going to say welcome to YouTube. Oh, my goodness, just click the right button. Welcome to YouTube Live. We are live and ready to get going here tonight. I have, as I've been saying, I had about 10 minutes of a good message I want you to hear that has to do with tonight's word we're going to be teaching about. And I know it's not me, but it's cool because you get to hear somebody else saying the same words in a different voice so that it has that same impact when it's said. And I want you to be able to receive this tonight. Talking about our subconscious is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. And so, welcome, welcome, welcome. And here we go. Whoops. Got to get all the equipment in the proper location here. Better be careful saying, here we go. If you're not, here we going.
So who's
going to
be talking to us?
This man's name is...
Think of which witchcraft it is.
I have no idea what his name is. Richard Summerlin. He was the pastor of the church there in Palm Coast, Florida. He's preaching at the Holy Spirit Conference last week, teaching on Wednesday morning, and he's talking about the subconscious, how our spirit, soul, and body function with each other to establish who we are in God. Here we go. Get my face off the screen. Get his face on the screen. Get the screen shared. There we go. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I receive from the hand of Almighty God all of the workers behind the scene making all of this stuff happen in Jesus' mighty name.
Is, but more so think of it as a source of information. And whatever you lend yourself to in repetition will eventually have an effect on you. Whatever you lend yourself to in repetition will eventually have, let's say this, have a great effect on you. Now, I don't want to get into, be real technical today, but your mind is made up of several parts. The two parts I want to talk about for a moment is your conscience and your subconscious. That's the two parts of your mind. The Bible talks about your subconscious as the heart of man. That's what the Bible, when you hear the heart of man, or we look at the soul of a man, but rather your subconscious would be the heart of a man. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that's the wise man said in that scripture that whatever, and if you look at that word in his heart there, in that term in Hebrew and Greek, it gives you the idea of a subconscious. Or we could say it like this. You have your conscience, and then you have your sub. The word sub means beneath or below. So you have your conscience. Your initial information comes into your conscience. Your conscience kicks it around for a while and tries to make sense according to where you are, if you're a Christian, where you are, what level of believer you are, you'll tolerate more or less of a certain information. But it'll kick it around for a while, and in repetition, it'll drop now down to your beneath conscience, into the heart of your being. The danger is if Satan can overwhelm you with information and a repetition of information, and he can get more information to you than righteous preachers, you're going to become a product of that information. Are you still here? Can you say that? Now, when that drops into your subconscious, you have a problem now. Because in your subconscious, you're not processing anymore if it's right or if it's wrong or if it's me, if it's for me, if it's from God. No, you've already decided that. In repetition, when you allowed it to drop down in your heart or in that part of you that makes natural decisions. So let's think about this. let's say a man knows having an affair with another woman when he's married is wrong. I mean, does anybody have a problem with that? We all understand that to be. Well, why is that? Because created within us, in our conscience, is the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. Now, if a man will begin to meditate, think on, right, he meditates long enough, he revelates. All right, so we can say meditate conscious, revelate subconscious. He'll begin to act naturally, even if it's wrong, once it gets into the subconscious realm. So he has no problem now walking on the street. Is this all right? Dad, am I doing all right? Am I keep going? All right. So he don't have a problem anymore walking down the street knocking on Miss So-and-so's door that's not his wife, and he doesn't think anything wrong about it because he's allowed that information that's wrong, that's ungodly. Come on, talking about principal powers, powers of the air, like Dad said last night a little bit, fiery darts or arrows of the enemy that have the ability to paralyze a being and stop you in your God assignment and actually change your God assignment and lead you in a demonic sense. I mean, how many pastors are in here? There are fivefold church people. In the last year or two, and this is a rhetorical question and a statement, we've seen, or how many people have we seen do completely and totally off-the-wall things that's usually not in their nature? Well, why is that? Could it be a fiery dart of Satan pre-prepared by Satan or a demon with a certain information or ability, a certain poison that hit its mark? Come on, are you here? Hit a defenseless person who set down their defenses, and now they become a complete and total product of that arrow or that poison, and now they're led by it completely. Why is it? Because it dropped down into that part of man that God said should be, I want that part of you for me. I want to get in that part of you so that you'll act and operate on my behalf. You'll act and operate in the way, oh yeah, come on, say amen to that. Now, another scripture here in Proverbs talks about and deals with the same part about the heart of a man and how a man acts and operates in the way of God, different things like that. But when Satan is conveying this information to us, he's trying to do, and Dad did this again last night, is to penetrate the place of you that has hope. A hopeless being or a hopeless person, remember, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, that's not talking about your heart. I mean, I believe if you stay in hopelessness long enough, it'll make your natural blood pumper sick as well. I believe it'll bring sickness to your body. But more so, it's talking about this part of you, this conscious, subconscious part of you, or the being part of you, or your soul part of you, the life part of you. If we can extract and remove hope, you have nothing else to live for. All right, how many people now are depressed? I'm talking about in the last 3 years alone. More people now need medication to alter their present mental state. They're suicidal. They're in depression. They're completely checked out. Come on. And why is this? Because Satan has penetrated with information that part of you that carries hope or information. Why is hope so important? Hope says always that something can change in a moment. Hope says tomorrow can be different than today. If you're going through something, if you'll just stay in hope, and hope's not a wish. Come on now, the world's hope is wishing. Christian's hope is the confident, calculated expectation that the Almighty can step in at any time and change anything and remove every bad element. So if I'll protect hope, I'm protecting God information. If I protect hope, I'm protecting the words of God, and we know that hope and faith work together, or hope carries us or holds us till faith manifests. That's what the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Come on, are you still here? The evidence of things not seen. Well, if we remove hope, we're no longer in faith believing for anything prior to that time. I hate using this word, and it's not a bad word. It's just the world, it's a disgusting world word. But so many Christians in the last 3 years have aborted so many faith projects.
Oh, my.
Now, and I'm still on the same thing here, but what's the problem with that? The problem with that is now you're believing in error.
Right. Yeah.
Because once you abandon that project, you got to start over again. But in your mind, if you think it's still in the process, you're not going to see a result, and that's going to breed doubt. So it goes like this. I believe. Oh, it never works for me. Well, Satan's helping you with that. You don't come upon that, of yourself and your own volition. There's demonic help when there's evil. So I'm believing. Oh, it never works for me. Oh, that thing never, you heard that from somebody. Oh, it never works for me. The things of God never work for me. Oh, that talking stuff and that faith stuff. And I believe, I'm with you on the talking stuff because we've made talking and we've made believing like a self-God thing. We've made talking and believing like I manifest with words without God. We've made talking and believing something God never intended it to be. I understand that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you believe and Satan blindsides you, come on now, and begins to mess with your doctrine, begins to jumble your doctrine, begins to challenge it with information overload, then now you abandon your faith. You've aborted that project. Let's say this. You always conceive anything and everything from God first in your spirit. The things of God are conceived in your spirit. They're birthed with your mouth, but you can't bypass conception.
You cannot.
Let's say this. How many mothers are in here today? Do you understand the answer is yes. You can't hold a baby lest you first conceive a baby, carry a baby for 9 months, and then go in the pain of child birthing. Well, it's the same way, and this is why Satan's after the information that you are obtaining or lack thereof. Because you have to become pregnant with the things of God first. There's conception here. Spirit man conceives. Spirit man is pregnant with. Spirit man carries. And then out of that, you begin to birth. You begin to manifest with your words. But you can't get into the manifesting with your words if you bypass the time it takes to meditate your scriptures, meditate good teaching, meditate sound doctrine, spend time in the spirit realm. Come on now, say amen. Let me pause this for a second. When Dad was talking about the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, if we think of this, your spirit becomes a new creation in Christ. For the first time when you get born again, society, all of creation, has a new creation present, your spirit. Now, we know that your spirit is a new creation. So when you pray in other tongues, in Corinthians it says, you build yourself up. You edify yourself. The word edifice, charge yourself up. Well, you don't got to charge your spirit up. That's the God part of you. So when you pray in tongues, that's why it's imperative. It's extremely important that you pray in tongues every day because Satan is attacking your soul and your information every single day. When I pray in tongues, I don't need to build my spirit up. I just need to give my spirit right information. But I need to build my soul up. I need to build my flesh up. My flesh desires ungodly things. If I pray in tongues, I begin to charge that man up in the spiritual sense. Come on. I begin to breed into that part of my being the ability to not quit, the ability to stand up and fight off every ungodly attack. And then once again in Jude, you have faith. What Jude says, build yourself up how? On your most holy faith. So I have faith. But when I pray in tongues, it has or it causes an effect in my faith and brings it to the surface or a new level. I'm preaching pretty good. Can you say amen?
You're preaching really good.
Now,
we're not here to hear you preach all night just to get it started. God bless Richard Summerlin and his ministry there in Palm Coast, Florida. Now, you might say, Pastor, that's really good, and I want to hear it again. All right. We'll get you the link because I like it to hear it again. This is a great message about the power of our words, how it affects our subconscious and changes the inside of us and gets our subconscious filled with strength. Sunday Geyser, welcome, ma'am. It's good to have you with us tonight. There is the link in YouTube. Hey, there you go, Sister Rebecca Smith and Brother Oxy. God bless you guys. Good to have you with us tonight. And there is the link for those of you on Facebook. And glory be to God for good preachers and a good word. Now, tonight, I want to get started a little earlier here than what we would normally do. And I'm really working with God to help me make an improvement right here on our program. And I'm really working to get us done at an earlier hour and still get all the word in, still get everything we've done, still have a good time with the family and make this process work. Because you and I are doing a mighty work in God, and we cannot be hindered from that work. Mission accomplished. Just exactly how he's told us to do it. And we are doing it. There we go. I got all y'all now doing my best to be able to see everybody's comments tonight. You can join us on Zoom. You can join us on YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live. All of you that are in the Community of Faith family that's on our family page, you got all three of those links over in the Messenger thread. For those of you that are with us from around the world, if you want to become closer to us, you're very, very welcome. We have a wide open door. You just got to want God and want the things of God. And it'll be a blessing. Hey, there's my wife. God bless you, Sister Leanne. Love you. I better call her something besides Sister Leanne. Probably better call her my wife, my love. That way all the ladies here aren't throwing things at me through the internet, you know. Get smacked upside the head. All right, here we go. So I want us tonight to go right now to our verses and begin to do our teaching for this evening. I know we don't usually start right here with this. But I'm just seeking the Lord and saying, give us your leadership on this so that we're walking in the paths of righteousness and we're making a difference in people's lives because that's our assignment in God Almighty. So I want us to turn. Let's see. Give my notes up here. Welcome, 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 everybody. Hope you had a great day. Hope you had a great supper. Those of you that's in the Community of Faith family and you've joined us on our Messenger thread, you're always welcome to come on the Zoom link about 20 minutes before the program starts and communicate with your brothers and sisters there and bring a prayer request and pray for it. And I really want to see us be able to do some times of prayer there where we're speaking over the broadcast and we're praying over our partners who are all around the world because God has blessed us with many people and friends and partners around the world. And we want you to know that we bless you right here, right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. I am going to go, first of all, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Actually, 1, 2, and 3. Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And tonight, we're going to read a bunch of the settings of Scripture from Jesus, where he said to the disciples, or to everybody that was there, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Kathy Angaroni, welcome, ma'am. It's good to see you. Welcome, welcome, Brother Roger, Sister Rebecca. Somebody else sneak in there. Like, that's everybody. Everybody, everybody, everybody. All right, you guys are putting some comments in. That's good. Keep them rolling. You're welcome to make comments on Facebook and YouTube, because we love everybody that shows up there. We want you to be a part of what we do in Jesus' mighty name. Hold your Bibles up, and we'll make our confession that we normally make right here together. Are you ready? Say this with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
The Holy Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit of God.
My resident teacher.
My resident teacher.
Is making his word come alive.
Is making his word come alive.
In my life tonight.
In my life tonight.
I receive the word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
Soil of my heart.
Producing a hundredfold return.
Producing a hundredfold return.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In my spirit, soul, and body.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen and amen.
And amen.
And amen. Now, here we go. Romans chapter 12. All the comments just disappeared. Isn't that something? So, it's against the community standards for me to say, make comments, talk to each other, have open communication on the inside. You people are messed up behind the screen, making that kind of mess go on. I said enough. Time to read the Bible. Here we go. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your only reasonable service. Now, I added the word only because in my estimation of God, that's the only reasonable thing you can do, and that is be found in God's holy word. All right, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Molded into their mold. Be conformed. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, Jesus, we're going to read in a few minutes here. Jesus said, you have heard it said, and then he would say something from the law. And by the way, who was it that gave Israel the law?
God gave Israel the law.
Jesus is the one that gave the law. Jesus is now standing in front of them saying, now you have heard it said, which is what he said to them in the Old Testament. And now he says, but now I say to you. So watch verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. You can't be born again unless he shows mercy. Well, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So his mercy is for everyone. That you present your body. Now, everybody say it with me. Say it right out loud. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
I have a soul.
And I live in a body.
And I live in this body.
This is my earth suit.
My earth suit.
You might be happy with your earth suit. You might not be happy with your suit. But God's the one that gave you that suit. So thank him for it and then take care of it. All right. Paul said that you, the spirit, present your body a living sacrifice. Don't kill yourself. Present yourself alive. Holy and acceptable. Well, you can't be holy in yourself. The only way you can be holy is you've accepted the mercy of God, and now you, the spirit man, have been made one with the Father, reconciled again, and now you're ready to be made one and have perfect communion and fellowship with the Father. But you got to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God. It's your only reasonable service. Now look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. That's all your media. That's all the news programs. That's all the sitcoms. That's all the game shows. That's all the radio stations. That's all the talk radio. That's anything that is going to conform your being, your soulish realm, to something that's besides this word. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Well, the moment you were born again, God transformed everything about you. You have been made a new creation. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But did you ever notice you still got the same eye color, the same shape of your head, the same hair color, and you even still got a few of the same old crusty thoughts that have never been a benefit to you? Why? God needs you to renew your mind to this. Well, the mind word is the word for subconscious, that part of you that's below the surface. Now, you and I might look at that and say, well, you know, I just believe in God. I love God. I want all God's got for me. That's it, Pastor. That's it. That's all I want. And yet you find yourself talking just like your mom or your dad. And you're wondering, hey, how'd they get it? For Uncle Charlie, Aunt Sadie, whoever it is, that you talk more like them than you actually do like the Word of God. I love Brother Terry Mize's story. How he said, God said, Terry, you don't think like me. He said, well, I most certainly do. I think just like the church. And he said, that's your problem. I don't need you thinking like the church. I need you thinking like my holy word. Now, you and I have got to come to the understanding, well, then how do I get my subconscious changed? I gotta grow and develop my subconscious mind, because every one of us from time to time are going to open our mouth and something's going to come out and we're like, well, I shouldn't have said that. Where did that come from? I'm born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the subconscious part of you that is functioning off of something that was put there many days ago, many years ago, by somebody who creased your soul, 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 creased your soul. Like Brother Richard said, anything, any thought process that has meditated on long enough will eventually become a natural part of you. So what do we have to do? We have to learn the difference between the word of God, the word of religion, old wives' tales, you know, real folklore, which is something that has to do with your local community, just regular old political gobbledygook rhetoric and words that have no value to them, no matter how big or rich or important that person who said them may be and may think they're be by saying some big word. See, God said, by the renewing of your mind, you renew your mind, you're going to be able to prove what is that good and perfect will of God. When I say I left the word out, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody that's here that I know. Now, I don't know everybody. There ain't a one. Hey, Lisa Craig's with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Lisa, love you. Good to have you with us tonight. Thank you, ma'am, for all you've done to help us. We bless you. We bless your family. We bless that all you guys got your hand to. May you have a great summer. Many trips down the rifle. Many fish at the lake. In the mighty name of Jesus. People are like, what's that mean, many trips down the rifle? Is she like a shooter, Pastor? No, the rifle is a river. The rifle river. So everybody knows, I'm not telling her to go shoot something. Their family lives by the Rifle River, so they go canoeing down the river often. I don't know. I hope I cleared that up. Don't need no bad cards or letters, but that's all right. Send them. We got a good brown file. Look at this. You and I are going to prove is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now watch, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you. Say this with me. I'm an everyone in this body of believers.
I am an everyone.
I'm an everyone.
You are.
That's kind of like being a whosoever.
That's like being a whosoever. Amen, Phyllis. It is. You're an everyone.
And this sermon, is this something like a renewing of your mind?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. That's exactly what it is, and I'm preaching it just for you.
Okay, I'll try to listen and keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, we love you, Phyllis. Thanks for being a part of our life. Watch. I say to the grace given me, this is Paul. He's like, all right, grace is on me. I'm teaching you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you are. Don't be overinflated in your own mentality. But then don't think too lowly about yourself either. Why? You've got to know who you are in God. Who did I hear say it? I don't even know. I'm studying something recently in the last week, and I heard somebody say, oh, it's Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin would say, quit trying to go to a location somewhere besides where you are to find yourself. People will say, that's it. I'm not doing good here. I'm going to go over there and find myself. Wait a minute. When you get over there, guess who you're going to find when you get there? You'll find you. You're going to find yourself when you get over there. And you'll be like, I'm in a new place, but I brought myself with me. I should have myself over there and found me a new me. What Brother Hagin always say? This is the place where you find yourself. In this book. Brother Hagin's got one of them little mini books that everybody in the whole body of Christ should have one. And the title of it is In Him. I-N space H-I-M. In Him. Cost you about $2.50 somewhere online to get one. And what is it? It's all the verses in the epistles that talk about you and I being in Christ. That's what the little book. It's just one of them little books. If I took the time, I could go out and get one off the shelf out here. I got one sitting right out there right now. Why? Because when as you study it, you begin to realize, wait a minute. I am in Christ. That's who I am. That's my new identity. And Paul said right here, by the renewing of your mind, you'll no longer be a Baptist. You'll no longer be a Methodist. You'll no longer be a Catholic. You'll no longer be a Pentecostal. You'll no longer be a liberal, conservative, right, left. You'll no longer be any of that. You will be a believer. And you will be in Christ acting just like Christ acts. Now, all of a sudden, now you got a new you. But you're going to have to renew your mind. Nobody can renew your mind for you. You and I have got to take the initiative all on our own to renew our mind. Say, mind, you're going to get a bath. Now, the last part of verse 3 says, God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. Some Bibles say a measure, but it's a better translation to say the measure of faith. The same amount of faith for every person around the world when they're born again. All men are created equal by God. Everybody gets the same thing when they're born again. The only difference between you and me and Billy Graham is how much he took his faith and grew it and developed it and matured it and how faithful his stewardship was over his faith. That's the only difference. That doesn't have anything to do with Billy Graham because you can't compare yourself to anybody. You have to compare yourself to who you're supposed to be in God. Nobody on the face of this earth can judge your diligence level except you and God Almighty. Nobody. The Bible says he rewards those who diligently seek him. I can't be a judge of your diligence. You can tell me, Pastor, I read 5 verses 5 times every day for 5 weeks for 5 years. You know, whatever. But I don't know if you did that. I can believe you if you're honest. But see, you might say that to me, but God says 5. I told you to read 5 verses an hour. Wow, Pastor, would God ever tell you that? I don't know. I'm sure he probably has told some people that because some people, when they come to the kingdom, they're a big old nasty sinful mess. Have you ever noticed that? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't let anybody know it's you. Let's go to our next set of verses. You want to? I love it. Don't you love the word? Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
I love the word. Amen, fellas. Rebecca, your turn. No, we're not going on to you say I love the word, Rebecca.
I'm you.
Here we go. Ephesians 5. And let's go down here to verse. My goodness, there's so many good verses here. If you haven't read the book of Ephesians out loud lately, do it soon. It's really good. Amen, Sunday. I love the word. Brother Roger, Sister Mary Catherine, what's her name? Kathy Angaroni. There it is. Mary Catherine. I mixed Kathy Angaroni and Sister Mary Pastorick up. God bless you, Mary. We love you. Hope you get to be here tonight. God bless you.
My youngest daughter's name is Mary Catherine.
Is it really? That's cool.
Yeah. She's the one with all those Branham children and Erickson children and, all of my grandchildren. Some name of Prophet.
That's
Branham.
That's a very beautiful name, Mary Catherine. I think that's a very pretty name. Ephesians 5. I think we're going to read 15 to 28. In order to get the whole picture, we got to just go ahead and read it. And it'll be all right. Ready? Here we go. See that you walk circumspectly. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. There's some people like, I'm stupid. My dad was stupid. Our family's stupid. And oh, I'll be stupid all our life and we'll act like a bunch of fools. No, you've been born again. You now have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of you. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What's that mean? Get the most use out of every minute you can possibly get out of every minute. Redeem the time. Buy it back. Get some more. Sow it. Every time you come here, sow your time into the lives of other people that will see you here and experience the faith that you're adding to this. When you sow your time, you're going to get a harvest. What's that doing? Redeem that time and magnifying the rest of your time for a blessing in God, because God said, whatsoever you sow, you're also going to reap. You show up here in faith, growing, developing, being a part of what's going on. That means a hundredfold return. It's going to come to you growing and developing the faith. And being a part of what's going on, people will get involved with you. Keep redeeming your time. Verse 17, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be unwise. Verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine. What do you do with that verse? It says, do not be drunk with wine. I'll say it again. Why did the Holy Spirit put that verse in there? Oh, keep reading it because I can't get off on that this evening. Which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In that verse, God's saying, don't chase them bad spirits. Chase the Holy Spirit. There's a spirit that comes with that. Keep reading because we're not stopping. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymn, and spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A lot of people are like, why are you so singing all the time? Why are you so happy all the time? And I'm like, why are you such a sourpuss? I mean, come on. Look like you've been sucking on persimmons. Brother, Sister Phyllis, you have persimmons where you live?
Yeah, my mother loved them.
Did you make like persimmon pie or jelly or something?
Whatever, all kinds of stuff. Mostly, she ate them as fast as they got ripe.
Is that right?
She didn't have any left over from.
No, wait. How can you tell when they got ripe?
When they didn't make your mouth crinkle up like.
Yeah, that was. That's when they are not ripe.
That's when they're ripe. If they're not ripe, they definitely shrivel your mouth up. Yeah.
My first time eating a persimmon in Kentucky, this guy's like, oh, you got to try these. These are the best fruit in the whole world. Hidden right up here in the hills of Kentucky.
Only if they're ripe, honey.
Oh, they put that thing in my mouth. Lord have mercy. I thought they was turning my tongue inside out. Anyways, singing and making melody in your heart. Don't be looking like you're sucking dill pickles or persimmons. Giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, not submitting to one another in the fear of man, not submitting to one another the wrong way, get out of all that stuff, in the fear of God. Now, important verse in the whole Bible right here. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Isn't it something how they leave out specific words to make their doctrines? Bunch of male chauvinistic religious nuts. Yep, same thing with the feminist religious nuts. Verse 23, That's 22 says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. As to the Lord. You don't have to submit yourself to a man that's beating you. Nope. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, the greatest man of righteousness, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything, but not unrighteousness. Do not submit yourself to a man in unrighteousness. Let it get real quiet. Now, see, that's where the church has gone way out on the wrong end of that thing. And said, well, sister, if he beats you and you just take it, you'll take it for Jesus and it'll help him turn around. There's all kinds of stories like that. But that ain't God. He will come around and that will be God. But you being beat? No. No, that ain't God. I'd never told you to lay down and be a doormat for nobody. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Now you tell me. Keep reading. That's not my subject tonight either. Woo! There's a lot of nice paths down to the different river, but we got to stay on the mountain. Here we go. Just as, let's see, for the husband to have the wife is also Christ to have the church. 24. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. How are you and I going to present ourselves to God Almighty, before God, to be that beautiful bride coming down out of heaven on that day in the time of the end, except that our robes are made white, how? By the blood of a lamb, and we have washed ourselves by the washing of the water by the word of God. Like Pastor says in that message that we were listening to, Dr. Barclay comes down and talks, and he said, how often do you wash your hands every day? Every time they get dirty, right?
Yeah.
That's how often you wash. Well, if that's how often you wash your hands, how often are you going to have to wash your soulish man? Every time it gets dirty. Well, how's it going to get dirty? By what somebody says, by what somebody sends you on the phone, by a conversation you walk up into, and you're like, whoa, I ain't a part of that. By some wicked person doing something wrong to you. That's how. And so every time your soul gets contaminations thrown at it, you and I come back to the word of God and wash our soulish realm. What's your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotion. You wash that how? By the washing of the water of the word. Bless you, Sunday. We love you. Now watch this. As you and I wash ourselves, we become more and more resistant to that which dirties the soul. Can I say that a little differently? We begin to resist those things that we may not have resisted before that would dirty the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion. It won't be long. And God will say, why are you watching that? Why are you listening to that? Why? Because you open up for his leadership. And you say, I don't want to do anything that's out of order with you. And all of a sudden, he'll begin to say, now, don't be a part of that. Don't do that. Not because he's trying to make you weird. Because he wants you and me to wash ourselves. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Is a good verse. And Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3, Felicia. Romans 12, 1 through 3. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. They kind of go together. Ephesians 5:26-27, that Jesus might present her to himself a glorious church, a glorious ecclesia, body of Christ, governing body of authority. Not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. That's right out of our communion verses that we say every day right there. 12:1-3 and Ephesians 5:26-27. Now, some of you might say, give me an example. Well, this is how I did it. Now, you don't have to do this. I'm not the standard. I'm an example. All right? That's all. Watch this. When I first started learning this verse right here in 26, I made a copy of this verse on a piece of paper and a couple other ones, Romans 12:1-3, a couple other ones about washing. I made them, put them on a piece of paper. I went down to the office supply store, put me a laminate on there so that it was protected, punched a hole in it, and I hung it inside the shower. On the shower curtain, on the inside. Really? Yeah. Because by the washing of the water of the world, I was cleansing my body. So I might as well, while I'm in that process, by the washing of the water of the word, cleanse my spirit and my soul. And I began to speak this verse. Thank you, Jesus, that you have sanctified and cleansed me by the washing of the water of the word. And I declare, I renew my mind, and I am able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another good set of verses to add with that, Felicia, would be over here in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go there. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's a good thing to put right along with it. It really worked well for me, and it got that right down inside my soul. While I was showering, what are you going to do? Sing, meditate, complain to God, pray. Might as well be speaking the word of God while you're in there. And there's no better time to wash your soulish realm than when you're washing your body. You got the same process going on. Now, add with those washing verses, Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And that's as simple as saying, you know what? Right now, by the washing of the water of the word, any of you women, well, any more men too, you buy them special body washes that's liquid in a bottle, and it has a fragrance to it. That as you're taking your shower, when you come out, you actually have a fragrance about you. And people are like, wow, I can tell you showered. That's wonderful. You were stinky yesterday. No, they don't say that. But anyways. But think about it this way. That scented body wash is no different than the fruit of the Spirit is a soul wash. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long suffering. Sometimes that's a difficult one for believers. Goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Now, what have you just done? You've washed yourself with the washing of the word, and out of your mouth spoken out loud, which now begins to crease your soul, yourself. Many people are like, I hate what my mom or dad or Uncle Bill, Aunt Sadie taught me to when my kids growing up, when I was a kid growing up. Well, that may be the case. You may hate it, but there ain't nothing that's stopping you from changing what your soulish realm believes right now, because nobody's in control of your soul now as an adult but you. People moan and groan and complain to me all the time. I just can't believe that this would happen to me when I was this age as a kid. Well, I can't believe it happened either. And shame on those adults for doing it. However, fix yourself. By the way, I wasn't saying it at anybody specific. I was just kind of broadcast that out there. And if the shoe fits, wear it. But most of all, don't say, Pastor, stop preaching about me, because then everybody will know it was you. I'll even take a drink of coffee on that. Let's go take a look at this now from Jesus' ministry. You ready? It's going to be a good study. Whatever we meditate in the conscious realm, we will end up revelating in the subconscious realm. Whatever we meditate on in the conscious mind, we will eventually revelate or function automatically from in the subconscious. Now watch this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where did that verse go? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That was Jesus. And Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Now, when I was first doing that, that I just shared with you about the shower, I changed that sheet regularly as soon as I got those verses down deep inside of my spirit, so that whenever something happened, those verses came out. Soon as something happens and the verse comes out, you know you've changed your soulish man. And until you can, that's the automatic response out of your mouth, then keep saying it and keep proclaiming it and keep, because that's the only way you get it down inside of you. I know people that their parents said children should be seen and not heard, and they've had a problem talking for the rest of their life. Why? Their parents beat them and treated them abusively if they spoke, and they weren't spoken to be able to speak. Whenever you do that to a child, you teach them their words are not important, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not for children interrupting when they shouldn't, but there's only one way they learn to have a conversation. And that is you and I, the mom and dad, train them and teach them in the things of how to conversate, when to conversate, and that your words are important in any conversation if they're words of intelligence and they're words of honor and they're words of wisdom. Keep reading. I'm going to get off that because I'll go the wrong way. Matthew 12, 33, 37. Either make the tree good. He's calling your soulish realm a tree. And its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And then he explains it. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Amen. Them are good. That's good, Felicia. Let's see. You see, all of a sudden, my dad just came out of me. Beth, Becky, Esther, Mary. What was he doing? He was going down the list. And it's not anybody either. It's Elisa. That's a good idea. Matter of fact, if you make them real fancy, Elisa, then let's get them marketed on the internet and sell them to people. I got a couple more verses. So send me an email and I'll send you some more. I got to stay here. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You ever notice when you was first born again that every now and then something would come up out of your heart and you're like, man, where did that come from? Well, that's what was in the abundance of your heart. Why? Because of life, because of education, because of training, because of influence by somebody. I know, Kathy. There it goes. All right. We just started a whole printing press right here. Watch this. Look at verse 33. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart he has made good. I added a few words there. Will bring forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his evil heart will bring forth evil things. Brother Copeland always said, don't get mad at a sinner because they sin. That's their nature. Sinners sin. Well, Pastor, they should stop. Well, they're not going to stop until Jesus comes in and gets involved in their life.
Are you in Matthew 12 or you skipped around somewhere? I'm lost.
Sister, just pray this prayer with me and you'll be found. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. A good man out of the good treasure, that's verse 35, of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say to you that every man, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of that in the day of judgment. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. So what's Jesus teaching us? It's your words that are making your tree good or evil. It's by your words. And then he said, use your words and change what's in your heart. You know, let's grab that verse. Did anybody write that, the reference down, hope deferred makes the heart sick? I thought I had it here in my notes, but I do not see it. We'll find it. Somebody find that verse and throw that in to the in a reference point. The Bible says hope deferred, it's in the book of Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick, all right? Now, and yet it's the spirit of the man and the word of God that makes you strong. By his stripes, he took on his back, Jesus is the living word, by the stripes of the word, you will be made whole. So, words have the ability to absolutely transform every part of your life. They'll make you better or they'll make you worse. They'll make you happy or they'll make you sad. They'll make you rich or they'll make you poor. They'll make you good or they'll make you bad. And it's all up to you and I which words we say. By the washing of the water of the word, you can purify that innermost being and truly make you strong. In the day we live, guys, you need to get your kids to the blood of Jesus and the broken body of Christ. Every time you can get them there, you got to do everything in your power you can do to cause them to come to a revelation of Almighty God. You've got to do it. Why? Because that other world is just absolutely, totally, and completely trying to rot, destroy, cripple the souls and the spirits of our children. They want to violate them in every way possible. I was talking to a man last night. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. That in the high school where his kids go to school, in the fall, they're going to require in the bathrooms in the boys' bathroom and the girls' bathroom, they're going to require big litter boxes because there's a couple kids that are identifying as cats. And they're going to give them a litter box by which they can go to the bathroom when they have to go. United States of America, right up here in the North Central Plains. Now, why are they doing that? They're doing that to pervert the souls and the minds and wound the spirits of our children who are in that school and force them to say, well, that's who they think they are, so that's who they are. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you going to do? He said, I haven't been to one yet, waiting for the time to come. But he said, I'm going to the school board meeting and say, cat don't need privacy. Stick that litter box right out in the hall. If they're a cat, they don't need privacy. And I'm like, oh, there's a man that's thinking right there. Somebody want to say it with me? I bind this wickedness in Jesus' mighty name. I bind it in Jesus' mighty name. And may the perverse individuals that are teaching our children this, may their mouths be silenced and their tongues cleave to the roof of their mouth and they not be able to say a word until they submit to the ways of God and the things of God in Jesus' mighty name. May it be a severe judgment. May there be severe judgment on the teachers' union that would teach such a horrendous doctrine to such impressionable children at such a young age. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray it. I'm off of that now, and I'm back to our lesson. Jesus called your soulish realm a tree. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And Jesus said, make the tree. That's your soulish realm. Either make it good or make it evil. There's no other place it can be. Well, I'm just kind of in the middle, Pastor. No, there's no middle. You're either righteous or you're not. You're either chasing God or you're going backwards. In this middle zone, well, you know, I'm just kind of existing. No. No. No, it doesn't exist. When you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verses 1 and 2, there's a bright cloud and there's a dark cloud. He didn't say, and there was a little gray cloud in the middle. No, he said, there's going to be the glory of the Lord is a bright cloud, and there's going to be the perversion of man, a dark cloud. Whichever cloud you run to is the one that you get to partake of. And I encourage you, get your families running to the glory cloud. Oh, God, I got to get to these verses. My goodness sakes alive. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and let's just follow Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount. This is a good place to see this. Now, at the beginning of the service on the Mount are the B attitudes. These are the attitudes that you should have working in your life. The reality is, the moment you're born again, your spirit man is made one with the Father, and your spirit man becomes one with God Almighty. The moment you're born again. Now, that means all of these are in there, but you and I have to renew our heart and our mind to match the Word of God so that all that other stuff we were trained is no longer a part of our life. And you and I fill our soul. David said in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. When you fill your heart with the word, there's no place left in it for any sin or wickedness or perversion. When you fill your heart with the word of God, for how to live your life, there's no place for perversion. Watch this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that doesn't mean poverty stricken. That means humble. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If you've been in this situation, Sister Kathy right now is dealing with her mom going on and going to the other side. And we walked that path with Sister Kathy last year. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers that helped her with it. But always remember that now a year later, you've got to walk the same path. And our souls and our minds, our spirits, our souls are remembering what went on. And may God bless our sister with healing and strength and that satisfaction of knowing I did what was right and took care of my mom, spent all the time I could with her, and the blessing of the Lord's in your life. Keep going. Jesus promised you to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The cool thing about righteousness is when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus fills you with his righteousness, and that's the righteousness you get to function with, not your own. Our righteousness, Paul said, is as filthy rags, but Jesus' righteousness is pure and holy and spotless. And he gives it to you willingly when you ask. Keep reading. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, your soulish mind. You're pure, for they shall see God. You hear something come out of your mouth that's not pure, then quote this verse. No. Blessed are the pure in heart. My heart is pure. My soulish realm, be washed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Now, see, as soon as I said that, I can just feel the waves of washing going all over my soul. Why? Because I know I've been teaching my soul. You're getting washed. Rub-a-dub-dub, you're getting the scrub. And I'm not going to present my soulish realm any longer to any of the wicked perversions of this world. Do not be a part of witchcraft. You got to stay away from that and horror movies and all that. You got to stay away because that's of the wrong, perverse spirit of our enemy. And that's why people get so afraid when they watch it, because you're fellowshipping with our Father's number one enemy and you paid to do it. And people say, well, he don't care. I know he cares. He cares. He cares deeply that you love him, and then you're going to go fellowship with his enemy. That doesn't compute. With our Father, he says, if that's what you want, then I have to let you go do that. It's not what you want. You just had a bunch of religious people tell you, well, that's no big deal. It doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. Because you're violating that very beauty of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And there's plenty to do besides go hang out and do that kind of stuff and pay your good hard-earned dollars for that. Anyways, I got to keep going. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the law. They persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, let's look at this verse. It is Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, 21. Watch this. Matthew chapter 21. You have heard that it was said of old. Well, who was the one that said those things of old? Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He's the one that said it. You have heard that it was said of old, thou shalt not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. If you murdered somebody, you had to flee to a city of refuge or their family member could come and avenge you that murder. When you got to the city of refuge, it was a safe place to stay in the city. They couldn't murder if they couldn't avenge the blood of their loved one. As long as you were in that city, There was a judge there who then began to hear your case and rule on whether or not you were guilty or you were innocent. That's what, watch what it says. You have heard that it was said. Look at verse 22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, or being interpreted, thou fool, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, what did Jesus do with the law? He raised it to the next level. It's not about whether or not your hand commits murder. Because a rock, a stick, a gun, a knife, a bat, poison, none of that can kill a person until it's used as a weapon in somebody's hand. I could have my pistol out here today, laying right next to me on the desk, and it's not going to kill a soul. It doesn't have any ability to kill someone. Laying right there. Doesn't have the ability. Because, well, look at there. Welcome. I think that's the Holy Spirit coming in. See, Jesus is taking him to a whole new level. Thou shalt not kill. That's the Ten Commandments. But Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? If you obey those two commandments, you'll never violate the ten. And you'll never violate another person. Don't worry about if somebody saw you do something wrong to someone. It's not about whether someone else saw you. It's about whether the Father saw it. And he sees everything. See, what Jesus is saying to him is the law, which was to point you to Christ and your need of a Savior. The law came to point you to the Savior, but the law is weak. Jesus said, I say, it's not whether or not you commit the crime of murder. Of murder if you just hate your brother in your heart. I know. I heard somebody say, well, I don't hate my brother. He's a pretty cool guy, but there's a few other people that I hate. Well, that's what he's talking about. Keep reading. Verse 23. Whoever brings their gift to the altar and remembers that their brother has something against them, leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way, be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. See, Jesus said, don't even give your offering if you have an offense with your brother. It won't be received. All of a sudden, we have got to get ourselves renewed by the washing of the water of the word. Look at verse 27. Matthew 5, 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Well, what's adultery? Adultery is adultery is a person who goes and has a sexual affair with someone that's not his mate. That's adultery. And there's people that are married and they commit adultery. There's people that are unmarried that commit adultery. It's still the same sin. In the Old Testament, if you actually went and had the act of laying in the bed with a person committing adultery, then you were guilty and they could stone you. But look what Jesus says now. But I say to you now that whoever looks at a woman or a man to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What's God doing? God's taking us to a whole new level. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they only had God in the temple. In the New Testament, you are the temple. And it's your responsibility to cleanse this temple from all unrighteousness. Now watch, the cool thing about Jesus is he gives you all of his righteousness and he makes you into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm definitely not made into it yet. Well, let's get the verses out. Let's get the teaching out. And then let's just stay on them verses until you get it. Because I'm telling you, there's a place in God where you actually can live and not sin. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you can, Pastor, if you live in your study and you close the door and you close the shades and you're not on the internet and you just sit in there all by yourself, certainly you wouldn't sin. No. There's a place in God by revelation of God's holy word and the washing of the water of the word and receiving what he's done that literally, as the book of First John chapter 3 says, you will not sin. Paul said in Corinthians, if wake to righteousness and you will not sin. Now, I know people like, I'm not there, and I don't know that I could ever be there. This is what I want to encourage you in. There's been many, many years in my life where I didn't feel like I was there. The only thing that changed between that day and this is my revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus filling me, and I get to use his righteousness because he made me into his righteousness. And that means I don't have to sin. All I had to do was renew my mind to say, wait, no, I'm not that person that I used to be. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Yes, they really did. And all things have become new. Everything that now is presents itself to me is just a picture from my old person. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, the spirit man, live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he comes and lives on the inside of you to make you pure from the inside out and win and all of these battles in your life. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? Watch this. Verse 28, Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's why you got to quit watching movies and singing songs that teach you to lust. Because you've been made new on the inside. You truly have. Old things have passed away and all things become new. But if you sit down in fellowship with that old spirit, because that's what you used to do, that old spirit's going to school you again, even though it's not true. Well, no, this is still who you are. This is what you've always done. Just stay that person. Everything will be all right. There's a whole church of people over there that do this just like this. Well, those whole church of people over there are wrong. They're wrong. It's real easy. Some people are like, Pastor, you're just drawing a hard line. I might draw no line. Don't do what I say. Do what this book says. Don't just carte blanche believe what I say. Write the verses down and go study them. And then say, God, I can see what you just showed, Pastor. I receive it. I walk in it. And I choose to become it. I choose to become it. Jesus said, It's not about whether or not you're in bed with the person. It's about whether or not you just are at that place in your heart. And that doesn't matter whether it's a man lusting after a woman or a woman lusting after a man. It's the same sin either way. It's the same. Jesus called it adultery. It's the same adultery on either side of it, whether it's a male or female. And what's it got to do with? The condition of your soul. The condition of your soul. There's a whole bunch of people that were just trained to be loose. Oh, it's no big deal. We're just all, that's just the way we are. We're just flirty and dirty. Whoops. You ever heard that? That's exactly what that is. I've heard that come out of people's mouths. That should not be in the mouth of a born-again, spirit-filled, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ person. Just, Jesus said in the Old Testament, it was if you were caught in a bed. In the New Testament, I'm living on the inside of you, and I know all of your thoughts, whether the preacher, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the apostle, or the teacher ever even sees it. See, all of a sudden, as a pastor, we get free. We're like, oh, it doesn't matter. If you sin, that's not on me. I'm teaching you that God Almighty is living on the inside in all of his purity, all of his holiness, all of his power, all of his might, all of his dominion, and all of his strength. Woo! I'm preaching better than you're scowling at me right now. I guarantee it.
I was wondering when you're going to get to the part that it says, be ye perfect, even as the Father is perfect.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have that here, but it's a little bit farther down yet. Sister Phyllis is now saying, I'm going to preach the rest of your sermon for you. I can see it right in her eyes.
I'm not accusing you of being slow or anything like that. Go ahead. I'm listening. I'm here for another 4 hours.
Thank you, Jesus, for your holy word being so plain. Thank you, Jesus, for it. Now, let's grab one more of these, and then we'll be done. Matthew 5. Let's go to 43. There's been many different things said here. And it's not in this one. It's in one of the other references. But let's go to 43 to 48. This is what Phyllis was talking about. We can just jump there because I want to be done in just a couple minutes. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Jesus is taking us to a whole new level here. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For God makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you? Even the tax collectors do that. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even tax collectors do that? The tax collector was the most hated man in the community. 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Remember, Jesus said it all started out with, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Then Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. When you do, you're heaping the coal of the fire of God's grace and mercy and love on them. I want you to think about this thought for a minute. What person do you actually want to go to hell? I don't want anybody to spend eternity without God. Well, Pastor, don't you realize there's some really wicked people in this world? Yeah, but I realized that it was my sin that caused Jesus to be on the cross too. Yeah. And if I sow the seed of no, send them suckers to hell. I got to be judged by that same judgment. And the bottom line is I want everyone to go to heaven. I ask God for his judgment on the wicked, the perverse, the vile, the reprobate immediately. But my prayer is, Lord, open their eyes of their understanding that they may come to you. And those who are reprobate, have mercy on everyone that's around them so that they will no longer be bound by that reprobate, vile, God-hating mentality that creases your soul. If since the Supreme Court made the ruling on the Second Amendment, the Roe versus Wade, the school choice, if since these landmark decisions by the Supreme Court, if they've caused you to all of a sudden realize I'm on the wrong side of this issue and I'm kind of standing with all the people who are filled with hate, people that are filled with violence, people that are filled with perversion, get away from those people because a child is known by the companions that he keeps. And if a child is so much more an adult, you will be known by the company you keep. Evil companions corrupt good behavior. And when you stand before Jesus, there ain't a single one of these wicked people that are so perverse and so vile, creating things for our children to believe that are not even intelligent. If you stand with them here on the other side, God will have you stand with them up there. And they will all go to hell and perish for eternal life unless they change. So on this earth, you and I can't stand with that group. Now you might have to say, wow, I don't like this ruling or this political view or whatever. That's just politics, folks. Don't worry about that. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be judged on politics. You're going to be judged on righteousness and unrighteousness. You're going to be judged by whether or not you walked with God or you walked with the enemy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now, just in case tonight's message seems like it might have been heavy, I was doing the dishes while I was listening. I reached for a new sponge under the sink. It's flooding. Kathy, I did that twice in one morning in the same sink. Be of good cheer, sister. We sure do love you. My grandma always told me that you're judged by the company that you keep. Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. That is for sure. And you and I, we got to realize this, that God Almighty has made his home within us. That'll be my last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Last verse, we're going to be doing communion at 9 o'clock straight up. Ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And the verses are 11 through 18. That's the whole reference. Somebody type those verses in for us. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 through 18. And I'm going to go down here with 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? None. Zero. And what communion has light with darkness? None. So if you're in communion with darkness, Jesus is like, no, don't do that. What accord or agreement has Christ with Belial? Beelzebub, none. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? None. What agreement has the temple of God, that's you, with idols? Doesn't. For you are the temple of the living God. God has said to them, I will dwell in them. God said, I am dwelling in them. And I will walk amongst them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And again he said, come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. That doesn't mean a shrimp or a lobster. That means get away from the sin. Create your own influence. You don't have to quit having a party. You just quit letting the party take that and go to sin. Invite people over that don't want to sin when they party. And nobody parties like I do. But I don't sin when I party. Everybody goes home with who they belong. Nobody had to snort it, drink it, smoke it, or pop it to have a good time at the party I am. I lead into the party with righteousness. And we're going to have a good time together. And we're going to have fun and laugh and have a good time. But we're not going to do the things of perversity and then laugh at it and act as though our God doesn't care, because he does. Verse 17, come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Look at 18. Not only is he going to dwell in us and walk among us, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Now, the other day, Sister Phyllis said that we have, at the end of the program, three verses. But tonight, I've only got two. I had that verse, well, that group. And now I have this group of verses, John 17, verses 20 through 26. Write that whole reference down. John 17, 20 through 26. Amen, Rebecca. I live with clean parties too. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus, my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Here we go. John 17, 20. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's Jesus talking about the disciples. Look at 21. That they may be one as we are one. I like that. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. How is that going to work? That's going to work when you and I are walking with God Almighty in every part. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be one with the Father, and he fills every part of our life. See, guys, it would be unjust. I want everybody to really listen to this. It would be unjust for God to ask you to be righteous, demand of you righteousness, and then not provide the righteousness for you. That would be unjust. If God were, you know, like he said right there, come out from among them and be separate. If he didn't give you everything you need to be able to do that, then he would be unjust. So he gave us Jesus. And we get to live in, receive and live in the righteousness that Jesus provided, and his was perfect. And he gave it to us because we asked. See, people have made God a mean judge in the sky, but that's because they didn't know his ways. They didn't know his ways. Psalm 103, verses 6 and 7. God made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. See, God not only gave them the law, but he put the law inside of you because Jesus lived. And the power of the Holy Spirit is residing in here. And God the Father made his abode inside you and me right in here. And he's teaching you. And he's leading you from the inside out, not from the top side down. Meditate these verses in John 17, 20 through 25, 26. Meditate them. Just read them and 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 speak them and read them. And stop and say, I receive it right now. I receive it. And you'll get it in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I declare that by the washing of the water of the Word of God tonight, every one of us have been cleansed and purged by your blood from all impurity. Now, Lord, lift your hands and just receive from me to say, I receive inside of my life this righteousness of God that totally transformed me into a brand new being in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Lord, matter of fact, I want everybody to say it. If you're with me on Zoom, Sister Phyllis, come live and say this prayer with me. Everybody say this prayer with me. Give me just a second, guys. I got to close this shade because that's really blinding the one side of my eye here. I like to let my little light shine, but that was just getting intense. Ready? Everybody say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I receive the righteousness of God.
I receive the righteousness of God.
That's in Christ Jesus, my Lord.
That's in Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Fill every part of my life.
Fill every part of my life.
With all of your righteousness.
With all of your righteousness.
And I receive the revelation.
And I receive the revelation
of how to walk this out now.
Of how to walk this out now.
Every day of my life.
Every day of my life.
May I be such an example.
May I be such an example.
Of the love of God.
Of the love of God.
Of your grace and your mercy.
Of your grace and your mercy.
Of the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me.
Of, of the power of and grace of your Holy Spirit.
Flowing through my life.
Flowing through my life.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen. And amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen. Now, you might say, wow, Pastor, this is really good, and this is really helping me, but I don't think I got it all yet. Listen, in the realm of the spirit inside of your being, you got it. Now you got to get your mind renewed to what God actually did inside of your soul tonight. Your spirit man is right with God. You've been born again. Your spirit man's right with God. You now got to get your soul and your mind in the proper place. Remember, a fiery dart shot at you by the enemy. That is not your new nature trying, that old nature trying to come back to life. That is our enemy saying, no, this is who you are. And you have to say, no, that's a picture of what I was. That man died. And I am a new creation. I'm a new creation. Oh, I could preach this for another 2 hours, but I got to be done early because I was assigned to get this done. You ready? Let's receive our communion elements together now. Now, those of you that are new to us, you might say, oh, wow, Pastor, I didn't even know we were going to have communion tonight. We receive communion every night here at the Community of Faith because Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. Well, guess what? I am going to do this every day. And on the days when I'm the weakest, we'll probably do it two or three times in a day because nothing is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Learn to take your family to it. Your children may say, but Mom, I don't even understand all this. Just tell them, I know. But do you want to make heaven and be with Jesus? Yeah. Well, then just do this with me, and we'll learn as we go what God's word is all about. Because that's what Father's doing with you right now. Get you some grape juice. Get you some crackers, some bread, and let's receive it together. What are we going to do? I'm going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That is God telling us about the communion elements. And then we'll say the prayer of salvation so we're sure that everybody's right with God. And then we'll give you 2 minutes of discipleship training about it, and we'll receive the elements. We should have all that done in about 10 minutes with no Russian. Well, a few Russians, because Russia is one of the countries. But anyways, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why? And then you'll be right with God. Why? Because if we would judge ourselves, we judge. Isn't it something that God gives us the responsibility and stewardship to judge ourselves? 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. I love it. Why? Because we just judged ourselves. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is righteous. He made me into his righteousness. Therefore, I'm righteous. And I will walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Perfect love. Cast out fear. And the torment, the trauma that comes with it. Because there's no fear in love. And there's no fear in the communion elements. I bind post-traumatic stress in every one of your lives. Because Jesus told me to. There's no fear in love. And I bind you, trauma, torment. And I bind your power over their life. They'll no longer say I have post-traumatic stress. They'll say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you will transform their life forever in Jesus' mighty name. Now, those of you that have never been born again, now's the time to pray that prayer. Those of you that may be just coming back to God, pray this prayer. Those of you that's been around here for a long time, or you're someone like me, been born again for 47 years, pray the prayer. And God's going to touch your life right now. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. I'll pray. This fellow's going to pray with me. You pray along with her. And in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and just say it. I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love and mercy.
All of your love and mercy.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
All of your grace and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen.
And amen.
Now, you might say, wow, what's going on? Yeah, you are experiencing God coming inside of your being right now. I've been born again for 47 years. When I was 12 years old, I was born again. In a camp meeting. Matter of fact, it's probably, I don't know the right date, but it's probably right now sometime would be the anniversary of the day I was born again. It was in camp meeting at Riverside Camp in Big Rapids, Michigan. Packed out tabernacle. Don't you love it? The side walls are all up. The breeze was blowing through. Preaching hellfire and brimstone up there. And I decided to get right with God. But you know what? Doesn't matter what that man was preaching. That place was alive and well with God, and I found God that day. tonight as I prayed that prayer. And I say, Lord, fill me with your love and your mercy. Being born again 47 years, I feel him filling me again. Why? Because I've released more of who I am to him. And he's filling me tonight. I'm more determined today than I've ever been. You know what that means? He's filling me to that level. And every day as we pray this prayer, we receive more and more of who he is. And we walk with him. Phyllis, how many years have you been born again?
I was 13 years old, and I'm 81 now, so that's a long time.
Almost 70 years. Almost 70 years. Now,
68.
Yeah, now, so why would I say that, Pastor? So we all worship Phyllis? No. 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 Here Phyllis is every night receiving the communion elements with us. Why? Because she's afraid it didn't work the first time? No. What we're doing is saying, Jesus, we see the love, the mercy, the grace, the glory. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And you know what? You don't have to have a Greek lexicon to understand that the word often probably means often.
Seldom.
It doesn't mean seldom. It doesn't mean Christmas and Easter as long as you've done good. No. How often do you need the blood of Jesus? You need his blood every single day of your life. Every single day. Matter of fact, on the days when you feel the weakest, start your day out with communion. Have communion at lunch. Take it with your supper, and before you go to sleep, speak it again. Go right to the website, samueljcottle.com/communion, and read it right off of that website every single day. Why? Not because of I'm anything. Jesus paid that price so you can have the power of the stripes on his back and the blood that he shed. He did it all for you. He took it all for you. He gave it all for you. And now he offers it to you willingly every single day. And I've gone to preaching, and I'm not even supposed to be preaching. I'm just supposed to be leading us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So you can reach me on my email address and the website right there. It's in the notes, Samuel J. Cottle at samueljcottle.com or hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Send me an email of all 10,000 of it. Send me an email on the same day. It'll be all right. I got lots of folks around me. And sooner or later, we'll answer every single one of those emails and make sure you receive exactly what you need in Jesus Christ. Why? That's our responsibility. That's my accountability to God. That's who God made me, and I'll be faithful to it till the day that Jesus comes back. You ready? I done went to preaching, and we got to receive the communion element. Hold your elements up. We're going to pray this prayer. Those of you that just prayed it for the first time, welcome. You did it. Woo! And now you're a believer, and there's nothing to stop you from receiving the communion elements. In Jesus' name. Ready? Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements
for this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded
for my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace
is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying.
Every joint supplying.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen and amen. Amen. Let's receive his broken body. Thank you, Jesus, that you took those stripes that we might be made whole. That we might be transformed into your image. That we would be found serving you every single day of our life. Now we lift up a cup of blessing. I just got preach and pray all over me tonight. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
The most powerful cleansing force.
On the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been reconciled.
I have been reconciled.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
every
Jesus.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
Every sin has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have
passed
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
Woo! And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
And there's therefore now no condemnation in my life.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over.
Every plague has to be
and cannot
over.
Be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always
be. The glorious church.
A glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Right. Let's Amen. Receive his bloodshed. Now, for those of you that are looking, though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. When you add the blood of Jesus to your life. That's why I use this cup. Thank you, Sola. You made it just for me. Let's sing a song. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. white as snow. You know, God truly is alive and well in our lives every day. Every day. And I love every one of you being here with us and helping us get this work done in Jesus' mighty name, because we do a mighty work. Now, we always have Sister Phyllis read. Well, it's not always Sister Phyllis, but most times she's here. She has a favorite set of verses that I have a favorite set of verses, and they become our closing doxology that we make every time we come. Brother Roger, you're a blessing. You are a blessing. Thank you for being here.
You ready for me to read?
I'm ready. Fire at will, if you know who
he
is.
Jude, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. God, you are good to us in our lives. And we thank you. Now, for all of you that are with us on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, Zoom, and wherever else somebody sends us. And I pray you, I'm going to be like Brother Osteen. This is all copyrighted. Ready? So this is what the copyright that I have says. Copy it right and send it to at least 25 people. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, how do I copy it right? Go to the top of the page in the browser link, click your mouse in there once, and then right click, and it'll say copy, and then send that link. The whole thing. Copy it right and send it to as many people as you can get it to, so that this word of faith and hope goes around this world to anybody that it can get to all of our brothers and sisters in 45 nations of the world. We bless you tonight in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Hold your hands out like this. Let's pray Mark 10, 29 and 30. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
Into the kingdom of God tonight.
Into the kingdom of God tonight.
I release my faith.
I release my faith.
That every person who heard us tonight.
That every person that heard us tonight.
Or any day in the future.
Or any day in the future.
Their lives are changed forever.
Their lives are changed forever.
And we reap their life for the kingdom.
And we reap their life for the kingdom.
I receive hundredfold return.
I receive a hundredfold in return.
However you have it for my life.
However you have it for my life.
And help us preach the gospel every day.
And help us preach the gospel every day.
And reach our world. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And amen. Amen.
And amen. Well,
amen.
That's not all we got. But it is all we're going to say. And so, until we see you again, which some of you, it'll be in a few minutes to do Read the Word. Others, it'll be tomorrow morning with Read the Word. Maybe it'll be noon tomorrow with prayer. Or if the rapture happens, I'll see you somewhere straight up above Kansas. We'll all join right there in Kansas. Everybody, listen, we'll all muster to Kansas, and then we'll go to heaven. Everybody just get the picture. Now, I want you to be here. All right. And we see you here, there, or in the air. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name.
I love all you guys. It was nice to be with you tonight.
Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is
And Lord. Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is
Amen.
Lord. Amen. See you soon.